I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
So just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week. Up,
and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Batman Unlimited, Animal Instincts.
Fun times.
So, another version of Batman, because we don't have enough of those yet.
Yeah. No, this is... I didn't mind this one, but like, yeah, it is yet another version, different suit on everyone, bit to get your head round, no idea where it fits in with anything else, you know.
Well, to be fair, the reason that there are different suits is because they're all toys.
Well, clearly, yeah.
I mean, this, you watch it and you're like, the second you find out that this is basically a toy commercial, you go, yeah.
it really feels like it. But that said, it has a storyline. Like, I've seen worse promos.
So included in the release with it was some of the was the Bat Flyer.
Okay.
So I don't remember seeing the Bat flying at any point, but okay. Unless it was maybe the...
I'm sure the toy doesn't fly either, so hopefully it works.
So yeah. So this film. It's got a lot of the voice actors are people we've heard before. So Roger Craig Smith is back as Batman. I don't think he's appeared as Batman in anything that we've watched, but I know that he's played him in a few TV roles and also in the Arkham Origins game, which he's basically trying to do a young version of Kevin Conroy.
I think he does a decent job. I think they all do. I think it's another of those things where it's a definite sign that voice actors have a different job than actors, and they tend to do it very well. In the, you know, I couldn't pick one out that I thought was particularly was bad.
Yeah, I mean, you've
and I've never heard of any of them, so I mean, you can tell me I've heard their voices before, but
absolutely,
they're not ones that jump out at me like Nolan North that I know, you know. So I don't know, Phil Lamar actually maybe.
So, yeah, there's Phil Lamar, John DiMaggio, Laura Bailey, who'll be familiar to people who are fans of Critical Role.
Mm-hmm.
Never got it. Not for me, personally. But also Will Friedle shows up, who we've heard before. He was the voice of... I can't remember his actual name. Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond.
Yeah, right.
Alistair Duncan, who's the guy who voices Alfred, is the guy who voiced him in The Batman, which we saw him fight Dracula. So, yeah, they're getting all the kind of various actors in from here, there, and everywhere. Also, Richard Epicar shows up, who's the guy who voices Joker in NetherRealm games.
Okay, yeah. So
and he voices
Gordon. That people would have heard, but I just they have to be like real Nolan North for me to
absolutely
to have heard of them. I'm sorry, like, you know, this is helping me recognize names, but it's not like I'm one of those awful people that even with all the games I've played, I don't tend to look at who's voiced anything.
As I said, it's more stuff like I go, oh, that person sounds like. Oh, that's because it is the same actor. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
My audio sense is not that good.
So we open up in Gotham, which in this version looks off looks kind of like Hong Kong or Tokyo.
Yeah, it's definitely got that sort of Neo-Tokyo look.
Yeah, it's very... I always think of Gotham as quite a gothic city, so it was quite jarring for me.
I was confused, and when I saw that it was a toy selling thing, it kind of made more sense.
Yeah.
But it's more like, I think I was trying to pin where in time we were supposed to be. Like, was this supposed to be futuristic Gotham? Because it looks so different. It's just a different a version of it, though.
Well, I think if you're wondering if it's futuristic, there's flying cars and robots, so...
Yeah. Because they make better toys, to be honest.
Yeah. Speaking of the kind of... we mentioned earlier Batman Beyond. Batman's first suit kind of looks like the Batman Beyond suit, or like the...
Yes, that's why I got a bit confused, especially when we get to the Nightwing outfit being a bit different, as you know, being the red. So,
I think that's... Isn't New 52 when Nightwing had a red and black suit?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So... Batman is flying about Gotham in his red and black suit, so that's one toy. Literally, that's all. He uses it in the opening act and then just puts it away. because they've got two more suits to sell. And meanwhile, Star Labs, which is guarded by guards in mech suits, is attacked by a robot dog?
Yeah.
Which very easily dispatches for security until Batman arrives and chases it. And it's actually a decent wee chase. I mean, it's quite clear that they're trying to go, see, these robots are very powerful.
Yeah. Well, they are pretty powerful.
Oh, they are, absolutely. So the wolf gets away, and we then instead follow Nightwing.
Yay.
Who's definitely chasing Catwoman. It's definitely Catwoman, except it's not, it's Cheetah.
Yes, it's a different Catwoman, as she points out.
Yeah. And so Nightwing and Cheetah fight until Cheetah's backup shows up, which is Killer Croc.
Yeah. I didn't know Killer Croc had a metal... Does he normally have a metal jaw?
Killer Croc... I've yet to see a consistent version of him, because sometimes he's just a human with really reptilian skin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's an absolute monster. And it kind of seems to vary from interpretation to interpretation. I think it's basically dependent on what they actually need him for.
Right, and obviously they're going for a very distinct look here because they want to sell a toy.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought that was a little bit... I'm not used to seeing him with anything metal. I mean, I don't see him that much, but...
Yeah. So... Helping... Nightwing, eventually is the Flash who turns up.
Yeah, and that's when you're like, oh, it's not just a Batman.
Yes.
Because, you know, always good to have Nightwing, but once you see someone else, then it's a full-on team-up. Usually.
This seems to be a very depowered version of the Flash.
Yeah, like super depowered.
Because he's fast, but he's not...
He's also not particularly on side with the good guys. So.
Yeah, he's kind of easily distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get... So, Flash and Nightwing get defeated. How do people outrun the Flash?
They need to be powerful enough to be toys.
Yeah. I do like the fact that they actually do give Nightwing and Flash an arc.
Yes.
And a bromance.
Yes.
Which is a bromance I didn't realise we needed.
No, but it's nice. It's nice.
Mm. Meanwhile, a gorilla is breaking into a bank. And at first was, oh, it's Gorilla Grodd. Okay, cool.
I thought so, but apparently not. Apparently this is Silverback.
Yes, this is another intelligent gorilla named Silverback. Well, gorilla named Silverback. And at first I was like, oh, who's Silver? Looked on the Wikipedia page. He didn't have a page. So I was like, oh, it must be an original character. Interesting. Uh-huh. And then we find out why he's an original character later. Yeah. Silverback is then intercepted by the Green Arrow.
I know, proper team up coming.
Oh,
I mean, I actually got quite excited. I quite like seeing Green Arrow.
Green Arrow is fighting Silverback when Man-Bat appears.
Yeah, that was cool. I like seeing him. That was enough of a deep dive that it's always interesting. And then he goes on to be quite important. So,
and we also get the name of this kind of group of animal-based villains called the Animalitia.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah, there is so many bits of dialogue. You go, oh, this is so aimed at kids. And the two people, one in their 30s, one a bit older than that, and I think we're the wrong audience here.
Yeah.
So, Batman and Arrow fight Silverback and Man-Bat, because Batman shows up, of course he does. And then two more robots appear, one that looks like a bat/glider, and one that looks like a tiger, apparently.
Yeah, they're straight out of, like, you know, Beast, whatever. The Transformers.
Beast Wars.
Yes. I was going to say Beast Wars, but then I wanted to say Transformers, but you're right, that is what it's called.
Yeah. And they get, the robots eventually get away, and Batman does the Batman disappearing thing to Green Arrow, because he's a proper Richard Grayson. he always does it, and it's, the issue is, every time he does it, every single time he's ever done it, you get the gag of, oh, I hate when he does that.
Yeah, every single time.
I don't know, maybe it's because we're watching all of them, but
yeah, you get to see how often he says it.
Yeah. So, meanwhile we meet the main villain of the piece, who is the Penguin, who is very Dorito-y.
Yes.
This man skipped leg day every day.
Yeah, he's a massive caricature.
Though he does manage to easily beat up Free Muggus.
Yeah.
And we're meant to think he's the bad guy at this point. But that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
And if that wasn't enough, we get our first ever time seeing Red Robin.
I know. I was like, oh, we have two Robins in this film. This is getting serious now.
And because I actually did look this up, this is the first time Red Robin's appeared, which I don't... Is that nice. Just basically Tim Drake not wanting to be called Robin?
I think it's to distinguish him as well very quickly. But yeah.
So, Batman.
Tim is the one I know least about, though. That's definitely my black hole of Robins, so...
As I said, the first few comic books I read, it was always Damien, so I'm way...
Like, I know Tim's, like, the most competent in terms of many things, so... But the one I've probably read the least of.
As far as I'm aware, he's the only one that worked out Batman was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but then, to be fair, some of the others were younger and not... like that into it, and but also, yeah, Tim's the one he adopts, right? Causes some interesting discussions with Dick, and yeah.
So, Batman puts on his blue suit that he's going to have for most of the rest of the movie, because that's another toy, and when they analyze the attacks by the robots and by the Anna militia, they form a near-perfect circle around the Avery.
Shock.
So, it just so happens that Bruce Wayne is invited to the grand opening.
Yeah, okay, so this bit made me laugh. Because when Alfred's showing him these suits and saying, which one do you want to wear, like, which one do you want me to press, whatever, how often would that suit also have a shirt and tie under it on its hanger? It just wouldn't. It's like, it's silly, but it just made me step up and go, that's dumb. Alfred, you'd know. You're a terrible butler. So, but, you know, aside from that, it was quite funny. And they both look pretty much the same as well.
Yeah. But... and whilst Batman's there, he bumps into Commissioner Gordon, who is tired of being asked about potholes.
Because I'm sure that's all people ask him about.
And I take it that the second that it was like, oh no, they're setting up a gag, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, know it, yeah.
Thankfully, Oliver Queen is also there.
Yeah.
As well as Oswald Cobblepot in the worst looking suit I've ever seen.
It to be fair, it'd be quite horrible. Hard to fit him.
Sorry?
It would be quite hard to get one to fit him.
Yeah, but still, I mean, gold? Come on, man.
I know, well, he's, you know, he's not a classy dude. What can we say?
And, yeah, we immediately establish how not nice a person he is. And how petty he is. Because whilst Bruce Wayne is actually being pretty nice to him, he one goes... my tower's taller than yours.
Which is like, you know, hey, of course.
Which, I am surprised that we're getting penis measurement jokes in a kid's cartoon, but okay.
Maybe that's slipped in there for the parents, you know.
And also, he's too busy listening to other people not being nice about him to listen to Bruce actually being nice to him.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. But he then shows the new robots that he's built.
Because, you know, he's also, that's the kind of person he does.
And, shock horror, it's the robots that have been attacking Gotham.
What a shock.
So they are designed to be rescue robots for earthquakes and similar type events. It's they exist to quote-unquote help the environment, which, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Langstrom shows up, and he's the one that's actually built the robots.
Smart.
Because the scientist whose specialization is genetics... builds robots.
Mm-hmm.
Also, key note to notice, Kirk Langstrom is in his human form here. Because this becomes a plot point later and it's a bit of a plot hole.
Yes, just a little.
He's also not a great talker, though it does allow Oliver Queen to plant a bug on him.
Which is awesome.
And Penguin randomly decides to... chase everyone out. So we go back to the Batcave, where Batman figures out, even though there was a clear circle at first,
yeah,
now there's suddenly a gap in it, which they go, oh, it's Gotham Zoo. Oh, he must be wanting to kidnap the condor birds.
Yeah, because of course, why not?
So we get a fight between the Anna Militia and... our heroes, Red Robin, Nightwing, Batman, Green Arrow, and The Flash.
Yeah, which is cool.
Where Flash falls for a very obvious trap. And then, because it's the gorilla, Silverback, that traps him in this. He literally, the most obvious rope in the ground.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And then he's freaked out when the Flash can undo rope.
Yeah, because, like, why wouldn't he be able to? But whatever.
Yes. So, meanwhile, the Green Arrow is able to knock out Killer Croc by firing an arrow using his feet.
Yeah, you know, it's what I expect him to be able to do.
And Red Robin and Nightwing are working together.
Hooray. As they should be.
And Red Robin's a bit too eager.
He's still young. He's got, you know, he's not quite with it, and he wants to impress, you know.
Yep.
His precursor.
And it all kind of breaks down. So the main villains have been caught until Man-Bat shows up and frees them again. And then we get a chase with the Tiger and Wolf robots and the Batmobile that's really quite fun.
It is fun. It is a good fun bit of action here.
One thing, it's not quite clear what the police's position is on Batman.
No. But, you know, they seem to be okay with him.
Yeah. There seems to be a level of acceptance rather than engagement. So eventually Robin and Green Arrow join in on a motorbike. And I'm glad they're both wearing helmets.
Yeah. Because this is for kids, and we've got to set them a good example. Plus, that's a cool addition to a toy.
Yep. So, eventually the robots are all caught. And Batman figures out, oh, wait a minute. Every time we showed up, they didn't actually steal the thing they were meant to be stealing. Maybe they were putting something there instead.
Yeah, he finally twigs.
So, Robin is left behind to hack the robots. The Flash is told to go back to the crime scenes, which he apparently doesn't do. And the rest of the team sneak up on Penguin in his compound. It turns out that there is an asteroid about to fly over Gotham. This is mentioned right at the start of the film. That has a lot of gold in it.
Oh, yeah. So the huge plot device. Yeah, that's from the beginning. We probably should have mentioned that. Once in a lifetime passing over the Earth orbit things.
I do like the fact that it's like, this is an obvious plot device.
Yeah,
such here
an obvious
you go.
Plot device, yeah. But fair enough, it sets it up immediately, you know, this is what we're going to be after.
Again, we get a breakdown, so we get intercut fight scenes.
Yeah.
With Batman, Nightwing fighting Man-Bat and Croc, and Green Arrow fighting Silverback and Cheetah. The Flash saves Nightwing when he's thrown off the top of a building.
Yeah.
And admits, halfway up a building, I didn't know if this would work. Also, Batman is able to figure out that because apparently Man-Bat wears the same suit.
Look, at least it's a little bit of detectiving. It works. Yeah.
So, Man-Bat, he figures out that Man-Bat is Langstrom, knocks him out, and is able to catch him whilst the rest of the villains get away. Though there is the reveal that Silverback is actually a robot.
Da, da, da.
It's almost like the completely original character was built by the same people that built the robots. But also, I love the fact when Penguin gets away, he's holding on to Killer Croc, who is using the tiniest umbrella to lift the pair of them.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So, having captured Man-Bat, he's taken back to the Batcave, where they figure that Kirk Langstrom has permanently turned into Man-Bat. except when he gave the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman's able to come up with a temporary cure that lasts for 3 hours.
But it's enough. You know, it's something. I quite like that.
So, they figure out that Penguin is building a force field. All those thefts were to set up various strands for this force field. And what he's planning to do is bring the meteor crashing down onto Gotham, destroying all of Gotham apart from his tower.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to mine the meteor for gold.
Of course.
And
because, you know, this is it's another of these typically stupid plans, but yep. Hey, it worked.
And Kirk Langstrom is able to kind of guide everyone through using the robots and how to program them. And then he very willingly lets himself be caught and put in a cage when his 3 hours is up. And Penguin steals back the robots.
Yes, because he understands.
Yep. And because we have to do a reveal later.
Yes.
So, Penguin gives the villain monologue going, "Ha ha ha, you are all mean to me, so now I'm going to drop a meteor on you. Wah!" Literally in that voice.
Literally. So I'm laughing. I was going to say it's a perfect impression. I was like, oh no, I'm podcasting with the Penguin.
I'm not that short. So,
I am.
So we do get Nightwing and Flash having a bit more of a bromance.
Mm-hmm.
Batman has a third suit to sell as a toy. This one covered in gold bits.
You have to have, like, the super special one.
Yeah. It's like watching Joel Schumacher Batman's all over again. So, Batman's able to use the suit to get through the barrier. Doesn't give anyone else these suits.
No. This is Batman. That's perfectly in line with character.
Yeah, excellent.
And it's not because, like, selfishness. He knows that he's the best for the job.
So, Batman uses the hacked wolf to turn into a bike and gets chased by an army of robots.
An army of robots. Never seen that before.
Meanwhile, Flash is able to use his speed to get through the barrier.
Finally, he uses his speed properly.
And then has to fight the tigers because it's established the tigers can keep up with him.
Which is dumb. They clearly meant cheetahs.
But... yeah. Well, they already have a cheetah, so...
I know, but she's a human cheetah. This is a cheetah, but there's probably not as many of them in zoos, is the truth.
So, the tigers have been upgraded and they rope up Flash, only for the hacked tiger to help him. And they successfully destroy one of the beams, which destroys the shield.
Da, da, da.
And suddenly, Arrow, Nightwing, and Batman are very able to easily beat the robots.
Because they're robots. They should be able to easily beat them.
Man-Bat is trying to break out of his prison. As Robin's doing all the programming.
Mm-hmm.
Nightwing ends up surrounded by robots as Arrow and Batman leave. Penguin then betrays the rest of his team and runs away in an escape pod. However, Red Robin is able to successfully hack all the robots, meaning that they're stopped. And then gets attacked by Man-Bat and manages to to reach into the soul of Manbat and pull out Kirk Langstrom.
By Which being is impressive. Nice. Yeah.
By going, I know you're in there.
Yeah, I know you're still there. Works, though.
It does work. So, Langstrom and Robin fly over. The rest of the animal militia are defeated easily by the two hacked robots.
Mm-hmm.
And the team then have to work together because the control for the barrier has shut down. But Batman has figured out if he can get enough power into the computer, he can activate a stronger barrier so they use Silverback as a battery. Flash moves the barrier to the very edge of Gotham. Thankfully, it can all be encompassed in a circle.
Thankfully.
And Kirk Langstrom is the hero Gotham needs.
Yeah, well, I like that. It's sweet.
So he ends up flying up to activate the tractor beam to bring the meteor down faster. And thankfully, because it's a kid's film, instead of this being a great moment of sacrifice, Man-Bat instead is changed back into Langstrom permanently by the beam.
Which is great.
And is then saved by Batman as he falls from the sky.
Because, you know, if you're going to save him, you have to save him. You can't just, you know.
Yep. So the villains all get jailed. Batman now has a bike. Robin has a glider.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the heroes go, well, that was nice. Cheerio.
Yeah.
And it turned out that for some reason, even though we didn't see it, Arrow did successfully hit the control system of Penguin's pod, and he ends up in Antarctica. And that's the end of Batman Unlimited Animal Instincts.
Which is a perfectly reasonable throwaway film for you to watch with kids.
It's better than it had any right to be.
It's definitely much more watchable than I thought it would be, but it's still like,
oh,
it's still not exactly like hard hitting fun, yeah. You know. It's fine.
It's not a gritty a gritty film. But that is the first of three Batman Unlimited films.
Woo!
All of which came out within about a year.
They really capitalized on it, and then they were like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. So the next one of those that we have coming up, something look on here. So the next one we're covering is in three films' time.
Ooh.
Called Monster Mayhem.
Exciting.
Which, looking at the front cover, features the Joker. Voiced by Troy Baker again.
Oh, cool. So, can't wait. This is more Joker.
I'm just having a look on here. Oh, Green Arrow shows up. Dick Grayson's still there. Tim Drake's still there. Don't see any Son the Flash is there.
That's because he's too fast.
Yeah. He's actually found his speed now. But, yep, so certainly that looks like an interesting enough idea. Yeah. Before that, as I mentioned, we've got two more films. One of which, we go from one toy commercial to another.
Oh no, what's the next one then?
Lego DC Comics Superheroes.
Oh, it's alright, we like Lego ones. They don't count.
Justice League Attack of the Legion of Doom.
Okay.
Which features Lex Luthor, and I believe also Darkseid shows up in that as well.
Okay, it's a bit different. We haven't had any Lex for a while.
And in between those two films, we have Justice League Gods and Monsters, which is an Elseworlds story it's by the same team that did Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
and it's, as I said, it's kind of an edgy retelling with different origins for our three main heroes, and at the start they're sort of anti-heroes and they become more heroic as the film goes on.
Right. That'd be interesting.
Also one of the films I've got on DVD.
Okay, so that means you like it.
That means that I was interested enough by the concept to buy it.
Okay.
I'm not going to... In all seriousness, I enjoyed it when I got it, but that was 5 years ago, and I'm a very different person, so I don't know if I will or not.
Okay. So, yeah, you liked it at the time you bought it.
I liked it at the time I bought it. That said, I liked the Flashpoint Paradox at the time I first watched it, and that I have a very different view of that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, that said, it's another film with Kirk Langstrom.
Okay, interesting.
Because Kirk Langstrom is Batman.
Okay.
Vampire Batman.
Interesting. Oh, Vampire Batman. I remember you telling me about Vampire Batman.
Yes.
I'm excited now.
So that's what's coming up in the near future. If you've seen any of these films and you have any views on them, or if you have any views on Batman Unlimited Animal Instincts, you can email us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com, or you can alternatively tweet us at dcaupodcast, and if you get in contact with us, we'll certainly read out anything you've got to say on these films.
Awesome. Yeah, get in touch.
So, thank you very much for listening to the DCAU podcast, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yep, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.